Well, it's hard to believe that next weekend is already the long weekend, Canada Day long weekend. It just seems to have kind of crept up on us really quickly, or at least it did on me. Just one thing I'd just like to mention. I know we were at Spruce Woods yesterday to connect a little bit with one of the previous cell groups. They don't call themselves a cell group now. They just call themselves a camping group. And there's a group at Spruce Woods. We got a chance to visit with them yesterday. And just as I thought about that, and you know, summer is often a time, when Dennis mentioned it earlier, about you don't take a break from God during the summer. It's opportunity for you to maybe reconnect or connect with God in maybe in a bit of a different way or a unique way. And camping is one of those times when sometimes you can, you know, you get away from the phones and the computers and the TVs, and it's just a chance to maybe slow things down a bit and spend some time with God. I would just encourage you to make your summer, if you are going camping, you're taking that R&R time, that you have a bit of a plan as far as connecting with God and how you're going to do that, whether that's reading a book that you've wanted to read, or maybe it's a number of books of the Bible you wanted to read, or spend some time in when you're not, the pressures of jobs and those things are maybe minimized. However you do that, I would encourage you to make sure that in your summer that you don't forget God, that it's about reconnecting with Him and finding refreshing in His goodness and His presence. And one other thing, if you are camping far away from here, and I would just encourage you, one thing to do is, if you're, and it's kind of, you want to be careful as a pastor to say this, but you kind of like, then I'd like you to go to church, go to another church, and there's a couple things I want you to think about when you go to a new church. First of all, what does it feel like spiritually? But what does it feel like as a new person walking into a foyer at church, walking into a church, and are the people friendly? How do they relate? What feels awkward? What feels strange? But because you need to feel those things, because when someone visits us, and they would feel exactly those same ways. And take note of things of how people ministered to you or how they didn't minister to you, and take note and say, okay, this is what I could do if new people come to Glen Cross. This is how I could make sure they feel welcome or they feel comfortable in this place. So just take note of, if you have chances to go when you're camping somewhere, you know, take that opportunity maybe to go to church on a Sunday morning where you would not normally go to church, and see what it feels like to be a stranger in a congregation, and just kind of take note of some of those things. I think that's just important in when we think of how we offer hospitality when new people come to us. And so just sometimes feeling that those awkward moments when you're in a new church and nobody comes to talk to you, or those kinds of things, it maybe will help us then to better be able to step out of our comfort zones and relate. Okay, this morning we had, during the Sunday school hour, we had the Sunday school promotion, and I just want to say thank you to Heather, to the team that she has put together, the people that are helping her with the Sunday school ministry and the program. We appreciate you very much, the Sunday school teachers that have given huge amounts of time in preparation and investing relationally and investing the Word of God in the hearts and minds of the students. We just appreciate so much, and the parents as well, bringing your children to Sunday school. Our Sunday school ministry is hugely important, and time will tell as to the seeds that have been sown. And I put in the prayer request that the seeds that were sown would bring a harvest of righteousness. And God's seed is good seed, and as the passage that Heather read this morning about God's word not returning unto Him void, is hugely important. So I want to just maybe focus us a little bit again on something that we all kind of know, and people have told us this lots of times, but we just want to be reminded of this morning. The Psalm 95 that Dennis read earlier, I was hoping he would read one more verse. The next verse that where he stopped was, it says, those who hear God's voice, let them not harden their hearts. I'm paraphrasing it. But that's kind of the theme I want to touch on today. I've entitled my message, Disciples Who Have Ears to Hear. So let me just read the scripture from Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Many of you probably could cite this off by heart, but this is what's known as the Great Commission. And I just make a few comments, and then I'm going to take it into a bit of a different direction. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." First of all, just a couple alls. All authority, all the nations, and all the days. Literally, I'm with you always is, I'm with you all the days. And so just to remember Christ's ultimate authority, and the commission is all the nations. And then another thing that I just want to draw to your attention is the key word. My Bible college professor says, preach the verbs. And the main verb in this passage is make disciples. Go, teach, and baptize are all participles that form around the verb. And so the command here, the Great Commission command, is to make disciples. And to make disciples, you will have to go. That means we will have to make the initiative. Our churches are usually designed for people to come to us. You come to us and we'll disciple you. But Jesus said, no, you will have to go. In order to make disciples, we will have to take the initiatives. We will have to take the steps. So the going part goes around the discipling. And then the baptizing part goes around the discipling. And then finally the teaching part. And that's the long-term thing. The baptizing, you can do that in one service. You could baptize a lot of people in a short time. But the discipling, the teaching part of that that's a lifetime of work. And so he says, teaching them to observe or to obey, the NIV says, to obey all that I commanded you. So Jesus is saying, everything that I said to you, that's your commission, to teach that to all these disciples. And this is the discipling process, is to teach them. Now, the word disciple in the Greek is mathetes. It means the root of it is to be a learner. Manthano is the Greek word to learn. We get our word actually math from that. Some of you might not like the connection between math and mathetes and discipleship, but it's about being a learner. And so we're called to be learners. Now, a number of you, it must have been about a year ago, I journaled some stuff, and I don't remember actually journaling it, but a couple of weeks ago, I went back to my journal, and I remember, and I don't journal regularly. I when I feel like God's given me something significant and spoken to me, I try to journal it so that I can go back to it and say, okay, God, what is it you want to say to me, or what is it you want to do? And I had journaled, and it was about a year ago, I had journaled about, in my own prayer time, saying, Lord, how can I be a better disciple of yours? How can I better hear your voice? How can I better hear what you're saying to my heart and be obedient in that process? Now, so I had jotted down a number of things, and so some of the things I'm sharing with you are things that I felt that God was speaking to me as I thought about that. And so 16 times in Scripture, there's a phrase that's somewhat like this. It's a bit different. 16 times in the New Testament, there's a phrase that says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the verse that Heather used in Sunday school in the promotion part is that the word of God will not return unto God void. It will accomplish that which he has sent. There's no problem with the seed. The seed is good. But the problem is with the heart. And so and Psalm 95 says, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And so as I thought about that, I thought, we live in an incredible culture. We live in an incredible opportunity. There is no shortage. Each of us has our own Bible. I have a computer program that has 30-some translations of the Bible. I have the Bible in about five or six or even more translations in my bookshelf at home. I have a Greek New Testament. I have all kinds of Greek and Hebrew helps. We have television programs. We have radio programs. We have all sorts of opportunities to hear the voice of God in the Word of God. We have all kinds of options, but I sometimes ask the question, how many times do we just turn a deaf ear? How many times does it go in one ear and out the other? And I'm talking for myself. These are areas I journaled for myself. And I started to ask myself the question, in what way do I harden my heart to God's voice? And I've been trying to be a little more sensitive. And it's interesting for me, one of the things disciplines I've been working on doing is I try to set aside one afternoon a week. When I come to church, I come and spend some time in the sanctuary here. And I said, okay, God, what is it? So I take some time in prayer and praying for the needs of the church and different things like that. And then I take some time and say, okay, God, what is it you're wanting to say to me? And I choose a portion of scripture and I reflect and meditate on it. And it's interesting to me in my own responses to God, when I all of a sudden I feel like God's saying something, my first tendency is to, okay, I've got that down, now let's do something else. Instead of letting it sink in, somehow you just want to run. You want to run from God when he draws near. And it's part of the sin nature, part of it probably the devil it tries to stop that too. But as I've thought about some of these things, so here I've basically my point in all of this is to ask the question, what hinders me from really hearing what God is saying? I mean, we all have our Bibles in front of us. We can read. What is it that hinders us from not just hearing and reading those words, but to absorb them and obey them and make them real in our lives? So I've come up with a number of things that that are there for me. And hopefully they will minister to you as we think about discipleship ministry, Sunday school ministry, ministry in our cell groups, in ministry of the Word of God. So let me give you some thoughts. Some of them I'm just going to give you the points, and I'll make some comments. Others I will take a little bit more time with. So number one, we would rather have someone else listen to God and then tell us what he said. Now, there's a couple reasons for this. First of all, we can be afraid of God, and so anytime we draw near to him or he draws near to us, there's a certain fear, because you look in Bible, anytime people came face to face with God, there's a fear that happens, and so that's a healthy thing. So that's reason number one, where we would rather have someone else say, okay, you go listen to God, you tell him what he's saying, and then you, and that's, our world's designed like that, our preaching world's designed like that. It's kind of like, we'll come to church, Pastor, you tell us what God said, and then we're good for the week. Now, I know that's not always true, but that's sometimes the mentality that happens. And so we would rather have someone else tell us what God is saying rather than to hear his and go to his word for our own listening ear. So let me give you some scripture that would say some of this. The other reason we would do this is we're just plain lazy. We don't take the time. Somebody has said this, and I'm not sure I totally agree with it, but I'm going to put it out there for you to think about, that someone has once said that busy people are lazy people. Now, that's not always true, but what he was saying with it was that if we're too busy, we sometimes don't prioritize what's the most important. And so then we're too busy with all these other things, and what's the most important, we tend to neglect. So let me read you some scripture from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 21. This is on Mount Sinai, and God has come down on the mountain. There's thunder, and there's lightning, and there's flashes, and the sound of trumpet, and the mountain is smoking. And the people looked at, and they are trembling. They are totally afraid, and it says they stood at a distance. And then they said to Moses, this is in Exodus 20, verses 18 to 21, verse 19 says, and they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, or we will die. And so they're saying, Moses, you go up, I'm not going on that mountain. You go up there, and you listen to God, and then you tell us what he said. And I'm like, okay, I can understand the fear of all of that, but I think there's sometimes a deeper thing behind all of this. We tend to want to have someone else do the hard work of digging into God's word and saying, what does God's word say? And then you just tell us what it says and we'll be good with that. I think God calls us to dig into his word ourselves. One of the things, the foundations of Christianity is what? A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in order to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to develop the relationship. I can't tell you, this is how I relate to Christ. Hopefully it might help somewhat, but you have to hear him. You have to listen to him. You have to work and walk with him and in this relationship with faith. And so the people were saying to Moses, this God's too scary for me to relate to. You go listen, tell us what he says, and we'll be fine with that. Now, one of the a couple of scriptures, I'm just going to paraphrase them for you. One in 1 John is that our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of our Christian faith, is you and I building a relationship with God our Father through faith in Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Then in Hebrews chapter 8, God says, this is the covenant that I will make with my people. He says, I will write my laws on their hearts and their minds. They will all know me from the least of them to the greatest, and I will be merciful to their sins and their iniquities. I'll remember them no more. Now, that's not a perfect quote of how that works, but basically God is saying that every one of us will know him. That's the covenant he makes with us, and that he will be the one who is going to teach us, and he will write his laws on our hearts and our minds. That's the covenant promise of God for each one of us. Now, so God's in that passage, it says, they will not need anyone to teach them, for I will be the one that will write my laws on their hearts and minds. Now, that doesn't mean we negate teachers. We don't negate those kinds of things. But God wants to speak to you through his word. And how many times do we short circuit that? And now I'm going to kind of mess with you a little bit and just kind of show you a little bit what happens. So what happens, we're called to bring a devotional to church council. And what do? We often read a devotional that somebody else has come up with. Why don't we have a devotional that God has given us? In our cell groups, it would rather watch a video of someone else preaching rather than us opening the Word of God by ourselves. There's many ways that this works out, I think. Now, these things are not all bad. I don't want to minimize good teachers of the Word of God and those kinds of things, but I want to kind of point out that we tend to rely on that rather than us digging into the Word of God ourselves, and what is it that God is saying to me. So I'm just putting that out there for us to think about in developing your personal relationship with God. Don't let it be manna someone else has chewed. This is about us relating to God. So we'd rather have someone else listen to God and then tell us what he said. So there would be many examples I could give, but I think I'm just going to leave that one there. Number two, what hinders me from hearing God's voice? Discouragement. I think it hinders us from hearing the promises of God. There's an amazing story to me in Exodus chapter 6. And here Moses had just had his burning bush experience, and God says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses is afraid the people aren't going to listen, and all of these things. And so then God commissions Moses in Exodus 6. And I'm just going to highlight a couple of verses here from Exodus 6, verses 1 to 6. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For under compulsion he will let them go, and under compulsion he will drive them out of his land. God spoke further to Moses and said, now he sandwiches what he's going to be saying. He says, I am the Lord. And at the end of what he says, I am the Lord. And so in between the I am the Lord statements, he gives about five or six I will. I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. So listen to the I wills. So God says, I am the Lord. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But in my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourned. And so, in verse 6, he says, therefore say to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into a land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. God's saying, I'm going to deliver you from Egypt. I'm going to make you my own people. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to bring you into a promised land. I will. You'd think after you heard those promises, you're just like, yes, yes, God. But what happened? In verse 9, it says, so Moses spoke thus to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and cruel bondage. So they had this weight of bondage. They were slaves in Egypt. They had all this stuff to do. And under that weight of discouragement, they could not hear the good news of God's deliverance. And I wonder how many times that doesn't play out in our world. When you're going through something heavy, you're going through something difficult, it's hard to hear the promises of God. It's incredibly difficult when you're lying in a hospital bed and you're getting bad news from the doctors and all kinds of stuff's going on, and to hear the promises of God for your life is incredibly difficult. It takes a huge mind shift, and we can't listen to account of the cruel bondage and the despondencies of our own heart. And I know when I'm stressed over stuff, whatever that stress, wherever that area of stress is coming from, it is hard for me then to focus on the good news of the gospel. It's like I can think of all the stuff that went wrong. I can think of all the problems that are going on. And I have to work hard and not hardening my heart because of my cruel despondency, the despondency of my own heart. And so I think for me, that is where I need to be reminded of, okay, this God's promises are true, and God wanted to redeem God's people out of Egypt. And so anyway, that's they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and cruel bondage. I could give you many other ones. An example would be Gideon. Here he's threshing his little bit of wheat in his wine press. He's hiding it from the Midianites. And God says, Gideon, I got this plan for you. You're going to deliver these people. And he's like, you know, God, I'm just the smallest in my tribe and smallest in my family. And, you know, these Midianites are huge. And, you know, and he goes to all the despondency did not allow him to hear the voice of God. And so he had to go through all, God had taken him through all these steps and all these fleeces in order to for him to hear the voice of God. So discouragement hinders us from hearing the promises of God. A heart not properly positioned before God is unable to hear. Jesus tells the parable of the sower and the seed, and I'm not going to take a lot of time with it, but he talks about seed sown on four different kinds of soil. One is beside the road, and the birds come and eat the seed. And so Jesus says, this is a heart that hears but doesn't understand, and the devil comes and steals the word. And so when we read something, how many times has that happened to you and me? We read the word of God, and it's like, you know, especially when you're reading in Ezekiel and Leviticus, and you're like, okay, what is this? We don't understand. And the next thing, it's gone, right? It's just gone. And so just because we don't understand, the devil can just steal it away from us. And so it's important for us then to seek to understand. Then there's the rocky places, and this is where the soil is shallow, and so the seed grows, but there's no root. And so this is a hardened heart where seed can't take root, and in time of testing, it just withers away. And so what is our faith like? We hear God's voice, but as soon as there's some challenges that go around that, we just fall away from that. That gets stolen away from us as well. Then there's a distracted heart among thorns. The seed is put around among thorns, and there's a distracted heart that where the weeds come and choke out. The word is choked out by the worries of the world, the deception of wealth, and the desire for other things. And then there's the good soil of good heart that accepts, that hears, accepts, and bears fruit. So those are just, again, very important for us to remember. Then there's the too busy one. I kind of touched on it earlier. But this one is, I think, huge for our culture. The thing that usually gets choked out is our time with God, right? It's that's the one that ends up suffering in the end. And the psalmist says in Psalm 131, verse 2, "Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me." So if we're going to hear God's voice, we're going to have to quieten our soul. Now this, I wish I could tell you I have all the answers for this one. This is my biggest challenge, to shut down my mind long enough to not shut it down, but to quieten it. I work with lists. I don't make lists. I work with lists in my head, and when I'm in before God, I can think of all the lists. I can think of, oh, this needs to be done. This, I got to do this. I need to do this. I need to work on this. And it quenches my ability to hear God. And so the psalmist says, "I've stilled and quieted my soul." And so that's why I've come, I've chosen, that's my one day a week that in the afternoon I come here, I come to this sanctuary, this place that has been dedicated to the glory of God, and I say, "Okay, God, I'm in this place, I'm trying to quieten my soul, help me with this, I want to hear what you are saying to me." And so there's a process. But I just want to give you one parable in Matthew 22. There's the parable of king that has a great wedding feast for his son, and he sends out the slaves and he asks them to come, but they're unwilling to come. And this invitation is given: "I prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted livestock are all butchered, everything is ready, come to the wedding feast." But verse 5 of Matthew 22 says, "But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm and another to his business." Here was the greatest invitation to the wedding feast of the Lamb, the greatest invitation, and it says they paid no attention and went about their own way. How many times is that us? God says, I've got something good for you. I have something I want to talk to you about. I have a promise I want to give you. And it's like, "Sorry, God, I'm on my way. I got this to do." And I understand the struggles. I'm there myself. I don't come to you with this one in saying, "I've got this one figured out." But this is what happens when we have those lists in our head, the to-do things, and somehow we pay no attention. We go our way, one to our own farm, another to his business. So that's the challenge, I think, that we face. Another one that hinders me or hinders us from hearing God's word is unbelief. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says this: "Therefore let us fear, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard." So he says, we have this example, and the example in chapter 3 of Hebrews is the exact psalm that Dennis just read in Psalm 95, and it goes on from there about hardening their hearts. And he's using those people as an illustration, and he says, they heard the word, but they didn't embrace the word with faith. They didn't say, "Yes, God, I'm believing that you. I'm believing this promise. I'm embracing this promise." It was not united with faith. And so how many times do we hear the word of God? We hear God's word being preached, we read it in scripture, and it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. Let me give you an example in scripture. The story of the 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb, they all heard the same thing: "Go check out the land, tell us what it's like." And so Joshua and Caleb came back and said, "Yep, there's giants, but we are well able to take care of this. God's going to be with us." The other people said, "No, they're big. Yeah, they're giants all right, but we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do this." Joshua and Caleb and these 10 spies heard exactly the same thing, and they saw exactly the same thing. The difference was Joshua and Caleb united the word they saw, they had heard from God, with faith. The others did not. And it made a whole difference in the whole nation. Are we people who unite, take the word of God that comes to our hearts and unite it and embrace it by faith and say, "Yes, God, I believe it's true. I don't understand. I don't know how you're even going to do this, but I am believing what you have said is true. I'm embracing it with faith." Now, I'm going to just wrap it up. I see we're kind of coming to the end. I just want to put one more out there. I'm just going to throw it out. sitting in the wrong circles will hinder us from hearing the word of God. Psalm chapter 1 says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Who are the people you hang around with? Would they fit into the scoffer column? Would they fit into the scornful column? Would they fit into the path of sinners, in the counsel of the wicked? So basically, he's saying those are not the people that I want to let into my life. That doesn't mean we don't try to reach them, we don't try to build relationships with them, but these are not the kind of people you allow to speak into your life. There's a guard that you have put up, that their values and their way of doing things are, you have a shield around you that you don't allow them that to speak into your life in the same way you would let a friend or a close trusted person, a Christian, speak into your life in the same way. So there's probably other things that are there. There's rebellion in our hearts. There's all kinds of different things that can hinder us from hearing the voice of God in our lives. As we read Scripture, are we taking time to quieten our hearts and to hear what it is that he's saying? So for you, how many times are you tempted to say something about, well, I'm going to just turn on the TV and help somebody else preach for my devotions instead of me reading the Word of God for myself? How many times do we allow discouragement and despondency to negate the Word of God? How many times do we, in different ways, harden our hearts when we don't understand, or the worries of the world and those kinds of things just choke out God's Word in our lives? Are we allowing the Word of God to speak to our hearts? The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Psalm 119 has a whole different, there's statutes and ordinances and all kinds of different ways the Word of God is described. One of them is judgments. That the Word of God is a judgment. It's a judgment on the intents of our heart. And so when we go to the Word of God and read it, the Word of God will judge the intent of our heart. And so as we go there, we need to let it do the judgment, because ultimately that thought and intent will be judged on Judgment Day. But God has given us an amazing thing. He's given us His Word that will do it now. And so we can allow those thoughts and intentions to be judged by His Word, and let them, when they speak judgment to our soul, that's about God's correction and allowing Him to speak the correction and discipline. To be a disciple is to be one disciplined by the Word of God, to allow it to discipline our own hearts. And as we allow that to happen in our own private devotional time, I think more and more we'll embrace the things that God has for us. So I trust as we think about this whole idea of Sunday school ministry, of youth ministry, of cell group ministry, I'm not saying we need to get rid of the videos. I'm not saying that we need to, but I'm saying to us, are we in our own personal times alone with God and taking His Word and allowing it to speak to our hearts and lives? Are we engaging with brothers and sisters in Christ over His Word and allowing it to speak to our lives? Or are we just saying, God, I'll let somebody else speak to me and that's good enough for me. Someone else can go listen and I'm going to hear what they're saying. Let's pray. Jesus, you told us in the Sermon on the Mount that if we would build our lives on the foundation, on that rock of hearing and obeying your Word, the storms could come and all kinds of stuff could happen, and yet, Lord, our house would remain firm. Lord, we're living in days when the storms are coming. We just look at Alberta right now, and Lord, there's an incredible storm happening. Lord, we realize we're not naive enough to realize that storms can come to our lives, and they come in so many different ways. And God, you have said that in order to build on that rock, we need to hear and obey the Word that you have given to us. And Lord, I just ask, we just ask for forgiveness. Lord, there's so many times we don't, we don't take the time. We don't want to hear. With so many different things, reasons why our hearts somehow get cluttered, and we don't take the time with you. And God, we just ask that you would maximize, whether that's 5 minutes, whether that's 10 or 15 minutes, or whether that's a whole afternoon, and whether that's a couple days in summer when we're camping. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us through your word, that it would come alive to us, and Lord, that we would embrace it by faith and say, yes, I believe the promises that you have given to me. So, Lord, we ask for your blessing on these things in Jesus' name. Amen.